To this time of worship. Thank you, Justin and Pax, for an amazing song to take us into this time. A beautiful opening. Good morning, friends, and welcome to each of you in this time of worship together, where we are gathered to worship the God of liberation and love. I'm happy to welcome each of us to this time of worship. My name is Pastor Katie. My pronouns are she, her, hers. And I am grateful, especially this morning, to be here and to be in the presence of God and in the presence of all of you, and thankful that we can be together. Even if we're physically scattered from one another, we can gather in this place of worship and connect to God and one another. So we give thanks for that. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we're thankful that you're here. Thank you for joining us, and we welcome you into this space and worship. If you'd like to introduce yourself, you can do that through the chat feature. We'd love to hear your name and that you're here visiting, if you are visiting for the first time. You can also contact me directly and email me at tabunitedpastor@gmail.com. And that email address is in front of you on the screen. I'd love to hear from you if you're visiting. So welcome. I also just have a couple brief announcements for us this morning as we look into the week ahead. First of all, just a little kind of technical note from our office manager, Shell, told us this morning that it would be a good idea if sometime this week you upgrade your Zoom account because there are some changes that are being made. And if you have an older version, you might get cut off or things might stop working. So that's just a thing to keep in mind. And this week, or very soon, early in the week, we will send out some information on how to upgrade and what version you need to get so that you can work through that in your own time. So that's just something to be aware of, and we will send out some information that will hopefully be helpful to you. Also, just a reminder that our weekly regular gatherings on Tuesday mornings at 8:30, we gather for prayer. We would love for you to join us if you'd like to do that, as well as Bible studies at 5:30 on Wednesday evenings. We send out links for that as well. So if you're not getting those links or want information, just let us know and we will get that information to you. I also want to give a warm, warm welcome this morning to Chris Page, who is our guest preacher. And many of us, many of you know Chris Page. To some others, we are just getting to know them. Chris Page is an otherwise identified writer, organizer, coach, and now seminary student. They co-founded Trans Faith, which is one of Tabernacle's partner ministries, and later began a publishing career when they launched Otherwise Christian, a guidebook for transgender liberation in 2019. Chris is also a beloved and longtime friend of this community, and I'm personally so grateful for friendship with Chris, as well as all the ways in which they teach and challenge me in the work of justice and ministry. And so I am deeply grateful to welcome Chris to the virtual pulpit this morning. And we give thanks, Chris, for your work and for your ministry in our midst. So welcome. I also just wanted to say that, or acknowledge as we begin worship this morning, that this has been a long and hard, difficult week. And it really beginning with the loss of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I think we are watching the shameless behavior, really, of many in Congress, knowing that so many issues are at stake that will affect people's lives for generations to come. And also, I want to remember Breonna Taylor this morning and just say her name, Breonna Taylor. And watching the officers who killed her get off the hook is just another painful and tragic reminder that the laws in this country are not built to protect and value Black and Brown lives. And we are dealing with that. And I know that many of us are feeling this, the pain and the heaviness of this week as we come into this worship space. And I wanted to say that our meeting this morning for worship is not really about retreating from the world. It is about reorienting ourselves in the world and to remember that we belong to the God of liberation and that we follow Jesus the Christ, who came to bring good news to the poor and to set captives free from an oppressive system. So when we gather to worship, we are gathering in community, in the presence of God, to remember who we are and to intentionally remember that we belong to God and to Jesus and to creation. And that in and of itself is a form of challenge to the status quo. The status quo is the system that is built to destroy Black and brown lives. So we are gathering to intentionally challenge that and to remember who we are, who we belong to, and to reorient ourselves. So welcome to this time of worship. I'm really glad that we can gather together and to remember these things. Let's worship together.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Katie. I wonder, before I say our words in the call to worship, I wonder if we might all just take a big, deep breath together. And if you want, you can put your hand on your heart or wherever it feels, and let us stay connected with our hearts and each other as we enter this time. Beloved breath in the truth. You are loved completely. No one and no part of you is excluded. Worship is our response to this truth.
Each of us are created in God's image, myriad and beautiful. We exist in God's all-encompassing love when we feel it and when we don't.
In community, we gather to remember the way songs and praise and prayer connect us. In community, we call each other into life.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And we worship the God of life, of liberation, and the God of resurrection. So I invite you this morning to sing about Jesus Christ, our living hope. Let's sing together.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages step down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The Lamb of God calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living. The one who There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory.
Thank you, Pax. Let us join together in our opening prayer. You are a God who sees and shows. You are a God who knows and reveals. You are a God of holy disruption. In times of fear and doubt, we can turn to the community you knit together by your Spirit so that we can be strengthened. We have so many questions, but you are not afraid of our doubts. We will be courageous in your love. We will walk in your light. Amen. And now we can join together in saying the prayer of confession. God, you don't need our word because you know our hearts. We tell you one thing and do another. We profess love and then turn people away. We make lines, boxes, and lists, even when we know that you reject that foolishness. Help us to see the world with your eyes. Help us to disrupt when we would rather stay confined. We don't always want to, but we need to. Help us see our need. Help us be strong and free. You are loved when you feel like you are and when you don't. Your questions don't change the facts. You are loved. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
I invite you to join me in singing a song of praise together. Be thou my vision.
Jesus comes to us in places of fear and doubt and offers us peace, the peace that passes understanding. And so we receive that those words of peace from Jesus, and we share those words of peace with one another. So let's take just a moment here if you want to go to gallery view and you can unmute yourself and let us share the peace of Christ with our neighbors. Peace be with you.
Peace, everyone.
Peace, everyone.
Everyone.
Peace. Even my dad's here.
Peace, Pastor Katie.
Peace, hey. Peace, everyone.
God, peace.
Peace be to all of you.
Mother.
Peace, peace, everyone. Everyone.
Peace. Good morning.
Maya.
Maya.
Hi.
Hi.
Back in Philly.
Laura.
Ah, back in Philly.
Hi, Lisa and Beth. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good
morning.
Joanna.
Good morning,
everyone.
Hi,
Kristen. Peace be with you.
Hello. Hi, Amanda. Peace.
Hi,
Tonya.
Hi,
Priscilla.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Levi.
Hi, Levi. Hi, Jennifer and Rose.
And Isabel. Peace.
Hi,
Ask. Peace to you, Buki.
Hi, Loana. Hello. Nice to see you. And Isabel. Hi.
Good morning, Isabel.
Hi, Buki.
Hi, Oscar and Heather.
Hi, Tonio.
See you all.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hey, Buki.
Hi. Peace be with you.
Deb Behrens, hi.
And Ann and Carly, good to see you. Peace.
Mike Ealing, I see you.
I see you, Michael.
Mike.
Hi, Jean and Amy. Hi, hi, hi. Hi.
Peace, Katie. Behrens, peace, hi. Erica.
It's so good to see you, Maya.
That's so funny. It's so
good,
so
to, good to be back.
Yeah.
Hi, Isabel. Hello, Maine. Hello, Maine.
Hi, Oscar and Heather. Hi.
Hi.
Our first reading this morning is a statement of more life that our congregation, Tabernacle United Church, adopted on February 24th, 1991. And Chris will be expounding on all of this. Listen to these words that were created by our congregation then. Whereas all people created in God's image and existing in God's all-encompassing love are members of the body of Christ, not by merit, but by God's grace. Exclusion of anyone from that fellowship wounds the body of Christ. Whereas the existence of prejudice against gay males and lesbians in our society, which cannot be ignored, has given them cause for uncertainty as to their welcome within the church. Whereas Tabernacle United Church has a history of inclusiveness and of opposition by word and action to injustice against the members of the body of Christ. Therefore, we of Tabernacle United Church welcome all people into the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In affirming that God works through all of us, we extend to anyone wishing to share in the worship, work, and leadership of the church all privileges and responsibilities of membership, including ordination as elders. We will not exclude those whom the Spirit has called on the basis of sex, age, race, sexual orientation, country of origin, economic, cultural, or religious background, disability, or any other human condition. As proof of this, we agree to be listed as a More Light congregation within the Presbyterian Church USA and as an open and affirming congregation within the United Church of Christ.
This is the time in our service when we invite the children and the young at heart forward for the children's time. Let's sing together.
Come and see, come. come and see. I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, follow me. Come as a child, oh come and see.
Hi, this is the time when we kind of invite the kids to get a little bit closer to the computer, which I'm also going to do. I'm going to move my keyboard here, so I'm getting really close, because I'm going to talk a little bit, and I hope that you guys might participate too, about how we have all been changing. And I have decided to make one fairly obvious change that you can see on the outside right now. And, you know, I'll just give you some hints about what that might be, what I have been changing. And if you didn't know me before, just to say that there were some things on my face that were much, much smaller than they are now. And so, you know, sometimes we make changes, and this side bothers me a lot. You'll see me pat this, and sometimes I have to pat this side down too. So, you know, I decided that during the pandemic, I would grow out my beard, and it would be a way I would keep track of how much time. And as you can see, here, this one's kind of fun. You can see there's a lot of time that goes in to like growing hair, and my hair is very long. That's the last of them there on that side. But you know, there are also changes we make that sometimes aren't as obvious, changes that kind of happen on the inside somewhere in our brain, in our heart. And so I wondered if, you know, with your grownups who are with you, if you might be willing to think about really quick and type one thing in the comments. I'm gonna pull up the comments that a change you're making. You know, that with kids, it's sometimes easy because we know you're getting taller, but I'm not getting any taller, so I'm making different kinds of changes. But I wonder if you might talk or think about with your grown-ups, so they can type it in, one change, one thing that you think you might be changing, something you're learning, something you're doing differently, something that you look different, maybe. I saw someone on here that I think has longer hair too when we were doing passing of the peace, and there might be more than one person, actually, more than one kid. So sometimes those changes are, you know, so we saw one comment that said, Elliot has lost two front teeth. So probably when he smiles, he looks really different. It's harder to see the changes on the inside. Oh, Levi is 5 years old now. So that's a big change, right? He went from 4 to 5. Yeah, those are big changes. And Levi's getting taller. But the changes we make on the inside, they're not easy to see. So sometimes we have to do things where we tell people what's new and different for us. And that's something that the grownups in this congregation, we want to know. Because we want to know the kids, we want to know what you're doing, we want to know what's important to you. And so I hope that apart from your grown-ups who you live with your parents or the other grown-ups who take care of you, that there's at least one other person who comes and asks you, which is very hard right now, right? Normally I try and sort of like go and spend a little bit of time with kids. I can't do that. I don't live in your house right now. And so we're doing things where we're very far apart. But we're trying to find some ways to make sure we know what changes you're making here and here. And so we just hope that you will share those things with us. It's getting easier for Oscar. Oscar is talking a lot more. He's talking in whole sentences now. And actually, he was noticing that my beard is really big. And I think I'm going to keep it until the pandemic is done, which means it could be down to here by the time we're done. But I also try when we do kids' time to talk about something it's different here on the inside. And you might have heard with my voice, it's cracking and shaking a little bit. And so one thing that's different for me is that I miss you guys a lot. And so when I do children's time, I get a little sad. And so that's something that's different for me. I'm okay. The sadness doesn't last a long time, just when I'm talking usually. And you can even hear it's back to being okay now. That's one change that's different for me on the inside, which is I miss you all. And so I'm also checking in with you to see what's different for you. And I hope that there are grown-ups here from TAB who check in with you all the time. We miss you, and we'll see you next week. All right, let's have a prayer. God, help us to know that the changes that we make on the outside and the changes we make on the inside are all important, and it's good to let each other know. Amen.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
This morning, I invite you to sing a song that we've sung in the past. Though I may speak. And if you're not familiar with it, I think it'll become familiar very quickly. Let's sing together.
Wow, good morning. Good morning. We're going to have to see if I can get through all of what I need to do today without a big old ugly cry. Thank you for Todd and Pax and everybody who's setting me up here. The second reading for this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 23 to 32. This is a lectionary passage for today. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then do you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as the prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." "What do you think?" A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And the second son answered, "I go, sir." But then he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the sex workers are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the sex workers believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe." Word of wisdom. Word of God. Woo! I have too many windows open. There's things. Okay, I want to see your faces too, though. Oh, goodness. You know, they all make it look easy when they do this. Good morning. This all started as a conversation about my work with Transfaith, about how Tabernacle could build relationship and build capacity to be more welcoming to people like me, to transgender folk of different races and different genders and different life experiences. But let's be honest, it all started with the awkward conversations we may or may not be having about pronouns, about trans folk, and especially the they, them folk like me that trip you up. I mean, what are we going to do about it? Actually, it all started with our history together with Tabernacle's history over more than 25 years. And I have struggled in preparing my comments because there's so much that I want to tell you. There's so much that I won't actually have time to say this morning. Susan read today from Holy Scripture, the Book of Tabernacle, chapter 1991, verse February. Susan read the words of our ancestors in faith, holy wisdom, holy word. I want you to imagine a time before pandemic, before Pax was our music director, before Katie was our pastor, before Todd was our treasurer, yes, even before Jim Gearhart became clerk of session, which was indeed a very, very long time ago. In the early 1990s, being gay or lesbian in the Christian church was controversial. Of course, in many ways, it still is. The More Light program in the Presbyterian Church and the Open and Affirming program in the United Church of Christ were strategic interventions. The invitation was for congregations to do intentional education around sexuality and then vote on a public statement, one which would hopefully, after all of the education, affirm their welcome to gay and lesbian people. I say gay and lesbian, as does the statement, not because LGBT at that time was not where the conversation was. It really was not a conversation about transgender experience or even bisexuality. We've come a long way since then. In February 1991, Tabernacle voted to adopt the statement which Susan has read into your hearing this morning. The congregation made a decision to do that work. They prepared this place, the physical place, the virtual place, the community, this place, this tabernacle, this shelter in the wilderness. And 5 years later, in February of 1996, they, that is some of you who are still with us today, would ordain me as an elder. I had come to Tabernacle just out of college. I was newly out about being a lesbian at that point in my life. I was also a Presbyterian, and Tabernacle was the only More Light church in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania at that time. I joined this church because our ancestors in faith had prepared a place for me. They had prepared themselves to welcome me into their midst. A lot has happened since then. And I want to tell you about my life as a holy disruption. That's my theme, my life as a holy disruption. I want to tell you because some of you have known me for a very long time and have been woven into my heart and my story. But there are still some things that we don't really talk about. I want to tell you about my life because some of you don't know me at all, but you do know other people in this congregation who share some of my struggles. When I was little, I remember the waitstaff would come to our table and ask my parents what their little boy wanted to eat. My parents would correct the server about my assigned gender, and the wait staff would get flustered and apologize. I'm so sorry. It was always awkward. And that awkwardness is how I first learned that I am a holy disruption. It was deeply uncomfortable, and I didn't have words at the time to talk about how it made me feel. My parents also hadn't been prepared to deal with these kinds of issues. But by the seventh grade, which is to say by the time puberty hit, I started to grow my hair out because I got tired of being mistaken for a boy. And I got tired of being a holy disruption. I want you to hear me, and I hope you can hear me. I got tired of the anxiety and the discomfort that my presence elicited from others. I tried to change myself, to make others more comfortable, because I was tired. There are all kinds of examples like this, but let's stick with pronouns for now. In most spaces, particularly spaces defined by white liberal culture, avoiding conflict is treated as a highest good. When someone calls me a woman, refers to me as she, talks about me as a sister or a daughter or a mother, I'm supposed to just go along with it. To interrupt with a correction is usually considered disruptive. Marginalized people in general are expected to be skillful and graceful and long-suffering. We are expected to do the work, to be a bridge, to suck it up, and to make it okay. But when we fail to speak up about the harm that is being done, we become complicit in that harm. When I shy away from being the holy disruption that God has made me to be, I am also hiding my light under a bushel basket. When I go along to get along, I'm keeping you from the holy wisdom that I have to share, that God has given me to share with this world. I am a holy disruption, and this is my gift. This is also our burden. It doesn't always feel like a gift, for me or for you. It can be uncomfortable and awkward to say that I will not consent to your treating me in a way that is harmful or dehumanizing. But if you want to know about the wisdom that I bring and the wisdom that other trans and non-binary people bring, then we need to figure out how to embrace holy disruption, to make corrections, to be corrected, to figure out how we can all be more graceful and skillful, the gift and the burden. The first time I left Tabernacle was in 1998. I was actually the co-chair of the pastoral nominating committee with Maureen Doggett at the time. We had an interim pastor who was by all accounts quite effective. However, I started to struggle when I noticed a racist metaphor in one of his sermons. I challenged him privately about the racism embedded in that analogy, and I was dissatisfied with his response. It was awkward. I didn't want to be disruptive. I didn't want to make a fuss. I didn't want to be a problem, and looking back, I wonder about how I handled it. Should I have made more of a holy disruption? I didn't leave right away, but for the last 6 months of Tabernacle's search process, I worshiped at First African Presbyterian in West Philadelphia. I came back to Tab when we got a new pastor, but that time away was a holy disruption for me. I needed to leave Tab. It was more than uncomfortable, it hurt. But let me tell you, I learned a lot. I learned about what it felt like to be an outsider. I learned about hospitality across lines of difference. I learned about myself. I'm grateful to First African for welcoming me for those difficult 6 months in my life. Holy disruption is an opportunity to learn about ourselves, to develop as leaders. Holy disruption may be painful, but it's also an opportunity to grow. Now, if we had time to sit around a campfire and tell stories, I would tell you more. I would tell you about my wedding and my marriage and what it feels like to be a holy disruption in the larger church and in society writ large. We could talk about the Occupy movement and the Sanctuary movement, about the water protectors and Black Lives Matter protests. We could talk more about Brianna. She deserves more time. We need to take that time. If we had time, there's so much that we could talk about. Our world needs holy disruption. Prophets crying out for justice and getting in the way of systems that cause harm, holy disruptions. We could talk about the gift and the burden, holy disruption, and we could talk about painful opportunities for change, holy disruption. Some of you will remember when I first brought our daughter to TAB. Her name is Neve. This is her artwork. And she will turn 15 in a few days. Her first trips to Tabernacle were in a baby carrier, a portable car seat, one of the things you carry and kind of lug awkwardly off balance. As Neve grew, she had a hard time with transitions and with change, explosive difficulties. She had more than a temper. The doctors gave her weird diagnostic labels that didn't make sense to anyone, labels that weren't even useful in accessing services. The doctors were basically saying that something was wrong, but they didn't really know what it was. She was disruptive. I can tell you now, and with her permission, that she had undiagnosed or misdiagnosed anxiety and ADHD. The clinical anxiety was actually resolved with a short course of pharmaceuticals, but for years, we struggled. We all struggled. When Neve was five years old, a therapist told us that she would probably be diagnosed with oppositional defiant disorder once she hit puberty. We don't always understand the holy disruptions in our midst. And so it was hard to get Neve to sit still or to be quiet in church, though I tried. Holy disruption. With her untreated anxiety, it was extremely difficult to get her to let go of me, to get her into children's church. Holy disruption. But she is not disordered. Don't call my baby disordered. She is a holy disruption. It took time and effort for us to learn how to support her. She was not the problem. She wasn't even that complicated. We were just unprepared. Still, I wasn't enjoying worship at Tabernacle anymore. I was just struggling to manage this holy disruption. I started attending Living Water United Church of Christ, where the worship culture was loud and active and full of small children doing what small children do. There was another parent who had a child Neve's age. Not only did I stop worrying about my holy disruption, we shared gummy bears and juice boxes, and it was good. It was good for us to be in worship together, me and my holy disruption. When my life fell apart in 2014, I called on friends, longtime friends from Tabernacle. Even Pastor Katie, who barely knew me at the time, showed up for me. More than ever during that time, I needed a worship experience where I could be a mess, where I could break down in tears while asking for prayer, where people were not scared off by the volatility of my emotional life. I was broken and in need. I didn't want to be a bother to you. I didn't want to be your holy disruption. Pandemic has brought me back because I still love you. I have always loved you because you have loved me well, because there are so many more stories that I could tell you about our life together. And in pandemic, with my microphone on mute, I know I won't distract you if I get my shout on. In pandemic, I can turn off my camera so I can move and fidget and dance with the musical offerings or prophetic word without being self-conscious about what people will think of me. Folk at Living Water are not perfect. They'll be the first to tell you that. Many people there don't understand my gender or use my proper pronouns. I stick out like a sore thumb, and for several reasons, but they are the best huggers that I know. Remember the gospel text that I read earlier. It is more important for you to show me that you love me than to have some kind of magical, perfect, right answer. Being community is not about being right. And I'm almost done, don't worry. What does it mean to embrace a holy disruption? The gift and the burden, the awkward and uncomfortable encounters, the distractions. Let's be real, the conflict and the hurt. In our work at Transfaith, we face these kinds of issues all the time as we convene powerful people with diverse religious, racial, and gender perspectives. It can get messy, but it's also not rocket science. We use a simple framework called Being Brave Together. There are three Being Brave Together commitments, just three, and they're short. We develop them as a tool for convening diverse groups as a guideline for working through uncomfortable but honest conversations. Be present, take risks together, take care of your own needs. It's actually a kind of cycle. Taking care of your own needs may mean stepping away, and that's part of the process, but then you're invited to take the risk of being present again. We're invited to acknowledge how risky, how hard it can be for us to be together as a truly diverse community. It's not easy. We have to be brave to embrace our holy disruptions, but we get to be brave together. Pastor Katie and I have had preliminary conversations about framing a tab.edu session, or maybe even a series, to begin to unpack what it means to be this kind of community, not just to talk about pronouns, right, but to talk about neurotypical folk and folk who are neurodivergent, and about race and whiteness and all of the things, and to see what it would be to talk about what it means to be this kind of brave community together. A community that embraces holy disruption, a community that is skillful about being brave together. Dearly beloved, this is not instant oatmeal, but we can figure it out together, how to develop the practical and emotional skills to match our intellectual commitments. Embracing holy disruption is not just about cultivating an absence of harm, though that is obviously an important foundation. Embracing holy disruption is about cultivating spaces, community, where we welcome all of the wisdom that is among us, even and especially that which makes us uncomfortable. Embracing holy disruption is about being ready to respond and adapt as God meets us in ways that our beloved elders and ancestors in 1991 could not imagine. May their memory be a blessing. Blessed be, may it be so, and amen.
Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Teach me, Lord, to do the work that you would have me do. I won't be afraid, knowing you will see me through. Guide me, Lord, to know the ways that you would have me grow. Call me and I'll go. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Teach me, Lord, to do the work that you would have me do. I won't be afraid, knowing you will see me through. Guide me, Lord, to know the ways that you would have me grow.
I have so many tears this morning, tears for our world and the relief of having a place to bring them. Tears as I listen to each person, including Chris. Thank you so much. As we think this morning about giving, it is an investment in knowing we have a place for our tears, for our questions, for our joys, for our hopes, for our doubts. It's investing in our connection to each other. It's an investment in beyond what we know right now. It's an investment in beyond ourselves too, so that we can also together invest in the world that God made and that God loves. So we invite us all, I'm inviting myself and all of you to give electronically or give however you want and however much you have to give. To give electronically, you can text any amount to 84321 or visit tabunited.org/contribute, which noting is a different link with our new website. When you do so, please be sure to select the appropriate fund when making a gift online. By text, that means including a tag like pledge, visitor, or other along with your gift so we know how to direct. I think it's also still possible to send a check to the church, and the address is on the website, Tab United, 3700 Chestnut Street, Philadelphia. So let's take another deep breath. Let us give. And let us continue to worship together.
Please sing along if you know it. In case you have fallen by the wayside of life, and dreams and visions shattered, you're all broken inside. You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. In case your situation has turned upside down, and all that you've accomplished is now on the ground, you don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. You who are broken, stop by the potter's house. You who need mending, stop by. Thank you.
praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts, Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy One, thank you for welcoming all of us who are broken. Thank you for welcoming our shards and all that needs mending. We bring our shards, our gifts, and our offerings to you. We thank you that your hands and your heart are always mending, even when we can't see it. Help our hands and our hearts to be a part of your mending. We ask that as we give, you also infuse us with your trust, your hope, your vision, with all we cannot see of your goodness and the light in each one, each and every person. God, in your mercy, thank you for accepting our offering and for multiplying our gifts. Amen.
Friends, this is the time that we are invited to share what's on our hearts. So if you have a joy that you'd like to share, a way that you have found life and joy in the midst of this time, we would love to hear that, and you can share that in the chat box. If you are carrying a burden or have a concern for yourself or for the world, anything that is weighing you down that you need to lift up in words, we want to hear that, and we welcome those prayers too. So you can take some time now to share in the chat box what's on your heart, and then in just a moment, Susan will be reading those prayer concerns. So we can bring our gratitude, our joy, we can bring our sorrows and our burdens. God receives all of those things and hears all that is on our hearts, and in fact knows us better than even our words can describe. So also, if you can't articulate in words, but just want to use this time in silence, that is also okay. God hears our silence as well. So let's now gather our thoughts and hearts, listen to each other, and lift up our prayers to God.
prayers of gratitude. This is from me, prayers of gratitude for Chris and their holy disruption and wisdom and for being with us. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Lucinda, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and the too many others deserve so much more than justice. They deserve the holy disruption and destruction of this violent, broken system. I'm so angry and so sad about how long we've let this go on. God, move my feet to disrupt. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Prayers for John, I can't remember how to pronounce his last name, Hajnacki, and I know he attended worship at TAB and lived nearby, who lost his husband this week to Huntington's disease. Yes, with you in these prayers and holding John, God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Kristen, please pray for my brother who is just diagnosed with prostate cancer. We're praying with you, Kristen. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Donald Wargo, please pray for our son, John, who was laid off from his job. Prayers for John. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. from Chris Page. I want to lift up some of our shared ancestors I knew that I could not name names without. Mariel Howell, Ruth Patterson, Sarah Purdom, who else? Without breaking down entirely mid-sermon. With gratitude for these and all of our ancestors, God in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Chris Purdom, thanks and concern for all the holy disruptors who faced police and fascist violence yesterday in Portland, Yobelinda, Los Angeles, Rochester, New York City, and Louisville. God, in your mercy, we need your help. Hear our prayers. Lucinda McGill Legendre, also I'm grateful for the prayers that I can feel when I've been teaching onions this week. Thank you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Gwyneth, prayers that God can take the hatred in my heart toward those whose own hatred hurts others through their politics and turn it into prophetic work for justice so that my anger not turn me away from God and action. Yes, God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Erica, pray for my 7-year-old who is going through a lot of anxiety. We're with you in this prayer, Erica. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Todd, I'm having a brief and minor medical procedure on October 9th that I would welcome prayers for good outcomes. Yes, prayers for you, Todd, on October 9th and your healing. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Michelle and Amanda, prayers for hope for us. There is so much heaviness for the marginalized. Yes, God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lucinda, I think she meant teaching online this week, not onions. Thank you, Lucinda, and we're praying for you and all those who are teaching online and all the challenges and all who are learning online. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Pax, lifting up a prayer for Roxanne Moore, Arian Burnett, prayers for their families and all Black trans women at risk of violence. God, send down your waters of justice. Yes, God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Ronald Page, thanks be to the Lord who has given us a child who has changed our life in so many ways. Yes. We give thanks, God, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. I also didn't finish typing, but I'm asking for prayers for my beloved friend Kate and her daughter, Franny. Franny had many, many, many blood clots throughout her body and had very complicated, dangerous surgery for hours yesterday. So please join me in holding up Franny. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Michelle, joy for Chris and their message that helped me see how living as a holy disruption can impact our communities in big and small ways. Yes, God, in your mercy, we give thanks and hear our prayers. From Vic, for justice and compassion and wisdom throughout this election period. Yes, God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
gratitude for everyone who has shared these prayers. We thank you for sharing what's on your heart, and we will be lifting up these prayers this week and carrying one another's burdens as well as one another's joys and gratitude. So, and just one more here, I'll just mention as it comes in for the Thompson family from Geneva, for the Thompson family and for Tab this week as we go public with our sanctuary status. Amen. Thank you, God, in your mercy. Hear our prayers. And then Susan Teagan, another concerned prayer for my dear friend Francesca, who had a very long and complicated surgery, removing multiple blood clots throughout her body, which is what you had shared also in your own words. Thank you, Susan. And we lift up that prayer as well. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Let us take a moment to again breathe deeply, and let us sing together as we lift up all that we've heard and shared. Let us bring our burdens to God and sing as we do that. Continue now in our prayer to God. Oh God, we give you thanks for the life that you have given us today, for the breath that you have graciously given each of us. In our breathing now, God, we remember that we are beloved and that you hold us, and that you are the one upon whom, the one whom we lean upon. You are our great provider. You are our liberator, our joy, our strength. And we thank you, God, for this opportunity to remember that, and to remember that we depend on you and that we depend on one another, and that we are connected. God, we thank you for the powerful message that we have heard this morning. We thank you for the reminder that you are a holy disruption in our lives, and that each of us in so many ways, but also as communities, we need holy disruption. God, make us prepared. Help us to do the work. Help us to help each other, to love each other, to be brave together. Help us as we take in these words more deeply that we've heard this morning from Chris. Help us to grow and for those words to be melded into our hearts, and that we would move and grow and change because of them. God, you have heard all the prayers that have been shared. You've heard prayers of grief. You hear and see our tears for people and situations that we are grieving the loss of. And God, you hear that grief and you join us in that grief. We have offered prayers of gratitude, giving thanks and remembering especially those who have come before us, who have done so much work in our ancestors and those even within the TAP community, but beyond, who have paved the way and who have given so much so that we can be here today. And you have heard prayers, God, also for healing for those people and situations that are in need of healing. And we ask for your healing hands in all of those situations. We ask for prayers also for those who are experiencing a lot of anxiety, depression, difficulty in this time. Help us. For those experiencing unemployment, who don't have the things that they need, food and health care, all of which are a human right, we ask for your mercy and help, and for us also to be the hands and feet and your heart in this world. God, for all of these prayers, we lift up to you, as well as the silent ones that are on our hearts. And we thank you, God, for the prayer that you taught us, the prayer that Jesus, our friend and our liberator, has taught us. So if you know this prayer by heart, you can say it in whatever version you know. Or if you don't know it by heart, you can read the version in front of you on the screen. Let us pray together. Faðir vor, þú sem ert á himnum, helgist þitt nafn, til komið þitt ríki, verði þinn vilji svo að jörðu sem á himni. Gef oss í dag vort daglegt brauð og fyrirgef oss vora skuldir, svo sem við er og fyrirgefum vorum skuldunautum. Egi leið þú oss í freistni, heldur frelsa oss frá illu, því að þitt er ríkið, mátturinn og dýrðinn, að eilífu. Amen. And all of God's people said, Amen.
For our closing song, I invite you to sing this Guatemalan folk song, leaning into the indigenous wisdom of taking care of the earth and finding the peace that our planet offers us together. Let's sing. The peace of the earth be with you, the peace of the heavens too. The peace of the rivers be with you, the peace of the oceans too. Deep peace falling over you, God's peace growing in you. The peace of the earth be with you, the peace of the heavens too. The peace of the rivers be with you, the peace of the oceans too. Deep peace falling over you, God's peace growing in you.
Amen. I'm going to butt in real quick before Chris gives us the benediction. I just wanted to make two quick announcements that I neglected to give at the beginning of the service, and that is that next Sunday, we will be starting Sunday school for our children, for our young ones, at 9:30 a.m. It'll just be a half hour time of singing and some storytelling, and we will send out more information about that this week, but just a heads up and a reminder for those of you who don't know, we will be starting next week, October 4th, I believe that is next Sunday, for Sunday school at 9:30. I also just want to let folks know, if you are interested in joining the public action this week, I'm not going to say details of it right here on the Zoom, but let me know if you don't know about that action and would like to join us for that. And I will send you a note privately to give you information for that. It is this week where we will be doing that action that is going to be at Tabernacle United Church. So let me know if you need information about that, and hope to see some of you there. Chris, I'll hand it over to you now.
Thanks, Pastor Katie. Beloved family of God, please know that you are loved. May we learn to embrace all of the magnificent holy disruptions that are among us. I charge you now to show up for one another, to be present, to take risks together, to be brave enough to keep trying, to keep coming back to yourself and to this beloved community. Amen.